We've been working on the matter of friendship, trying to advance ourselves in comfort and just being able to make friends and feeling comfortable letters and reaching out and touching their lives and trying to cooperate what the Spirit is doing in the lives of other people. And I spent we invested a couple of sessions on the matter of can we close these drapes? Can somebody come up? Jay, could you close those two, please? We're going to use this. Yeah, we're going to darken it up a little bit. Yeah, please. I think we'll try to see what it's like. We may have to turn it back on, but I'd like to darken up a little bit. We invested a couple of sessions on knowing that we're a Christian, knowing that we're redeemed, knowing that we're secure. We had Christy Scholl. Thank you, Therese. We had Christy Scholl in, and she shared a testimony. And then the next week, I shared a paper that I've written years ago. And by the way, someone said they really wanted another copy of that, so I gave them another copy. If you'd like more copies, they're available. Can we get that those two there, Eric, please? Thank you, Steve. And last week, does anybody remember what we talked about? Okay, I'm all ready for next week then. All right, we'll repeat the lesson from last week, right?
Identity in Christ.
What's that?
Identity in Christ.
Our identity in Christ. And the suggestion was made that we are secure in Christ, we are connected with Christ. Don't get confused by that phrase, identity in Christ. What does that mean? Well, it means we're connected to Christ. It means that we are plugged into Him. We are connected to Him, and we enjoy the security of belonging to Him. That's what that means. And there were several points made. Anybody remember them? Any of them?
He's a bigger Savior than we are sinners.
Okay, that wasn't a specific point, but that is very true. And thank you, David. We talked about being justified, right? We talked about being adopted, correct? We talked about belonging to the Savior, being secure, belonging to Christ. We talked about the certainty of our salvation. We talked about being confident and justified so that we're at peace, so that we have the strength to reach out to other people. I want to read you one verse. It's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. It talks about us being owned by God. Man, you and I are owned from 8 to 4, you know, or from 6 o'clock to 4:30 or whatever you work. But notice in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, where we read that we are God's own possession. We are possessed by the living God. He owns us. So we read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, who is a deposit, the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. God possesses you. He owns you. He bought you at Calvary if you're a believer in Christ. And man, that's pretty secure. So this morning, we want to move on a little bit and talk about two things. One is we're talking about friendship. We're going to talk about something about an aspect of friendship, and then we're going to talk about a definition of fellowship. Okay, those are the two goals for today: talking about a matter of friendship, and then a definition of fellowship. When you came into the room, what happened? When you walked into this room a few minutes ago, what happened? What did you say? What did you do? What did other people say to you?
I was greeted by friends.
You were greeted by friends, okay? That's good.
He was greeted before he got to that
That's true.
Door.
He was waving at me when I was walking up there outside the window.
Okay. We were greeted by lovely an invitation over here to the table. What else? What did you say? What was said to you?
Good morning.
Good morning? Uh-huh. What?
God bless you.
How's it going?
Okay. How's it going? Marta?
You got me a chair, my special chair.
Well, how nice, yeah. Okay, very good.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Thinking about you through the week.
Okay, now the question is that just small talk?
No, that's sincere.
No.
That's sincere. It can be small talk, can't it?
Yes.
When you pass somebody, we were in a restaurant a couple days ago with our son, and one of the students he'd previously taught in public school walked by at full stride, said, how are you? You remember it, honey?
I do.
And I mean, this girl had no intention of pausing to find out an answer to the question. It's just kind of a general...
Well, she was getting something for another customer.
Yeah, she was busy. She was, but she was greeting our son with a statement of how, a question of how are you? And I thought, that's interesting, because there was no, I mean, there was absolutely no opportunity to tell how he was, you know? So it can be small talk. It can be just a greeting. But it can also be a very sincere desire to know how another person is. When you meet people, when you're around people, what do you think? Do you think in terms of asking them, how are you? Do you think in terms of phrasing the question and slowing up as you ask the question? Please tell me how you're doing. Is that biblical?
Sure. Yes.
Anybody got a verse?
Philippians 2:3.
What does it say? You can look it up.
I'm paraphrasing because I have my Bible.
Okay, paraphrase is fine.
It's more important than yourself.
Okay. What does it say?
Consider others more important than yourself.
Okay. Okay. One way we can do that, thank you, Mike. Thank you, Jane. Jean, is to ask them how you are. Think of others more important than yourself. Okay. When you, and again, I ask the question, is that just small talk? And I want to suggest to you, here's the point. Here's one of two points we're going to make this morning. Point number one. News, individual pieces of news, are the building blocks of friendship. Individual pieces of news are the building blocks of friendship. Let's look at a passage. And Mike had Philippians, but I'm going to have Colossians 4. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant of the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. What strikes you about this passage, about thinking about individual pieces of news as the building blocks of friendship? What strikes you from this passage?
They're bringing all the news.
Bringing all the news, okay. Good.
So he can encourage us.
I'm sorry?
The encouragement.
Okay. Encouragement. Very much so. Thank you. Therese?
I was going to say, it's about the encouragement as well.
Okay. Encouragement. All right.
That he's talking about him being a dear brother.
Okay.
That means he's more than just a friend. He's part of your family.
He has a pretty high opinion of his associates, doesn't he? Yes, Rob.
To me, the people of Colossae have probably written letters or sent messages to Paul inquiring, how is he doing?
Uh-huh.
And now he's responding to those inquiries.
Okay, good. He's communicating. Do we communicate?
Not enough.
Yeah, not enough.
I like
it. Yes. People put walls up, and when you, I mean, sometimes people, you try to ask them how they're doing, they don't want to tell you. They don't want to share what's going on.
Some don't. And there was a suggestion made a couple, 3 weeks ago as to why that could be the case. Did anybody remember part of that discussion? Then we're going to turn to Tracy.
Vulnerability.
Pardon?
People feel vulnerable.
People feel vulnerable. It was suggested a couple of weeks ago that the reason people may not respond is because if you knew me, you wouldn't like me. Walls make people secure. You know, I got my world, and you're not part of it, and you won't like me if you step in my world, so, you know, no thanks. No. Yeah, I'm fine. Goodbye.
Or they feel that they have enough friends in their lives that they don't need to add anything.
That's true, and I think there's something legitimate about it. You can only have a few friends. Otherwise, all you do is friendship. That's one of my concerns about Facebook, is that some individuals spend an inordinate amount of time, a disproportionate amount of time on Facebook.
Amen.
You know? I don't care if the gal's going to take a shower. Fine. I don't care if the baby slept, you know, for 2 hours today. That's great. Fine. What else is going on, you know? I mean, I'm for communication, but that's abnormal communication. Okay, Tracy.
I was basically going to go on the idea that, you know, it makes us vulnerable, but I think we also have high expectations, probably sometimes wrong expectations in some regards, because when you open yourself up, you expect something in return.
Uh-huh.
You really do, whether we admit it or not. And so, unfortunately, that fear of being rejected or that fear of not having our expectation met, which could be hurtful, is one of those things that you just kind of have to weigh and say, do I really even want to go here, you know?
Yeah.
Like when I walked in this morning, one of the first things people ask me is, how is your daughter and how's the baby?
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, that meant a lot to me because I know it wasn't just, you know, hey, how you doing? It was, that shows me I've been thinking about you, I've been praying for you, I care about you, I care about your daughter, I care about your baby, you know what I mean? So I was very blessed by that. And that was really special to me.
Well, good.
So it takes time mm-hmm. to know what you're going through
uh-huh.
and what's happened in your week.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, as Bert says, sometimes people won't want to make friends, and you know you have to try the doors. You gotta find out if they give a little more private information. Well, my wife's in Colorado taking care of her grandmother who's sick. You know. Oh, there's some private information. Oh, okay. Let's build on that a little bit and build a friendship. Yes, Jed.
Paul's found Tai Chi is trustworthy. Mm-hmm. He's out there, obviously have a relationship that's been built upon
trust.
And he calls him, you know, a dear brother, a faithful minister. He also recognizes Wanjimus as a faithful and a dear brother. And he's given these guys information to go share with other brothers and sisters that he's entrusting to them. So he has this background of getting to know them. They've proven trustworthy to him.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't let him down with other information he's given them. Right.
So you throw out something to a person, and you mention something to them about your life, and then hopefully they pick up on it a week later, 2 weeks later, or you ask them about them, and you get you ask the question, how are you? Or some such wording, some such emphasis, and then you have a follow-up question or two. Oh, really? Well, what led to that? You know, just follow up once or twice. And then next week, the week after that, pick up on it again and see if there's a response. With some, there won't be. But with some, there will be. And you build friends. News, the individual pieces of news are the building blocks of friendship. Yes, Steve. Then we got to move on.
Well, I had an incident years ago where somebody asked me, how are you doing? And I unloaded on this guy, told him exactly how I was doing. He couldn't run away fast enough. So the how you doing is just a throwaway phrase.
Yeah, right.
It can be.
They don't mean it. They don't really care.
Well, that's true. And sometimes people get exposed for what their low level of interest is. Other times, they respond positive. Okay?
Unload when they're saying, how are you doing?
They what?
I think you have a responsibility when someone says, how are you doing, that you give them just enough to see if you can unload.
Right.
Because
yeah.
So often it's just a lip word, you know, that just comes out, how are you doing? Fine, okay. But sometimes, you know, have you ever been this around somebody and you thought, oh my gosh, I'm sorry I asked that question, because it just goes on and on.
You get an organ recital, huh?
That's it.
Well, my gallbladder's this and my liver's that. You know,
yeah,
gallbladder.
That's it.
Organ
that's
recital.
It. And you know, there's nothing wrong with unloading, but you got to know who you're unloading with.
Yes, and you got to build that relationship. You can't do it the first time, but we've all had that experience, Steve. Let's look at another passage, in a way of emphasizing this passage. Paul's opinion of the colleagues, of his colleagues. Tychicus will tell you all news about me. He's a dear brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant of the Lord. I'm sending him for the class person that you may know all about our circumstances. We encourage you to come. He's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother. He's got a positive attitude. Do we have a positive attitude about the people around us? We've already pretty well answered that question. Let's look at this one. Personal pronouns. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant of the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express word that you They know about our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming, Onesimus, our faithful dear brother, who's one of you. They will tell you everything. There's some personal interaction here. There's personal pronouns. There's personal relationships here. Names of people. The news about Paul. Here's the main point. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant of the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances, that he may encourage your hearts. He's coming, Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who's one of you. They will tell you everything. Sometimes, Steve, they don't want to know everything. We've all had that experience. But as you get to know people, they will want to know closer and closer to everything. And Paul says, they will tell you everything that is happening here. Individual pieces of news are the building blocks of friendships. Okay? Anything else on that? And then we got to scoot on. I challenge you to consult with people, a new person, once a week, once in 2 weeks, and ask them. Now, some will bite, some will respond, some won't. That's okay. Move on to the next person. Give them something personal about yourself. Doesn't have to be too personal, just, I'm really getting killed at work these days. My neighbor is, dog barks and is driving me crazy. Or, you know, whatever. You know, tell them a blessing. Share with them the grace of God upon your life. And see what they respond with. Yes?
You know, I was just thinking of someone that I've been trying to develop a better friendship with. And I really do want to have a friendship with this person. I'm really actively pursuing them in friendship. And they're not opposed to the friendship, but they don't want to share anything about themselves. Mm-hmm. So what I've kind of decided, like, as long as they're happy listening to me, mm-hmm. like what you're saying, little pieces of information are building blocks, I decided I'm not going to press the person. I'm just going to let them engage. If I need to do the talking, you know, I'll talk, and you know, I'll ask some questions. And if they don't want to answer them, I'm not going to get offended. I'm not going to feel upset. I'm not going to feel like anything, because the person obviously is wanting to connect because they sit and they listen, and they seem content to hear what I have to say. But I think sometimes some people do approach it more slowly. It's not that they perhaps don't want to develop the friendship, but maybe they don't want to share, either because it's either they're just personal, or maybe they are afraid of being rejected. So I think sometimes we just need to be more patient. Maybe we need to work a little harder. Maybe we just need to be a little more patient.
I'm so glad you said that, because that's triggered something, a thought that I've worked on for a long time and developed, and that is this. So your point is sometimes we need to be patient, lob over some suggestions or some thoughts about yourself, and if they respond, great. If they don't, just continue to gently be a friend to them.
Yes, gently. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Very good point. I have in mind a person who is extremely gifted, but also very private. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of an outgoing extrovert. I know you haven't noticed that, but I am. And I'm thinking, I'm acting like a fool in front of this person. I'm talking about this or that. When I get on the phone with this person, I've got about 5 seconds, 8 seconds to say how I'm doing, and then they want the business of the call. I mean, it is right to the point. Doesn't like to talk on the phone. Does not like to talk on the phone. And so I feel sometimes kind of foolish, but I thought about this, and I thought, well, you know, God may have more, forgive me if this sounds egotistical or proud, but just take it with a grain of salt. Am I forgiven in advance?
Yes,
sir.
Okay, advance mercy. I think maybe God has more for me in life than for this person, because they simply do not make friends. They have a small circle of very close friends, and that's it. I have many friends, many acquaintances. God may have more for you because you're outgoing and you do seek to put yourself out there than does for others who are not that way. And some people are very private, and I guess that's their call. That's their business. They don't choose to be as outgoing for Christ as others do. And You just continue to be friendly and be yourself. Don't be intimidated by the fact that they will not open to you. Just continue to be gracious, gently friendly. And then Marta's comment, and then we have to move on. Can I have to 25 of?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to fudge 5 minutes today because we got to get this other thing. Marta, then we got to move on.
My husband has...
Nice big voice. Can you hear?
My husband has a physical limitation with talking at this time in his life. So he does not open up or have conversation or joke around a lot, especially in a large group. He needs to be in a quiet place to talk. Sometimes the sounds reverberate and he has a paralyzed vocal cord. And I think a lot of times there may be a physical reason that someone doesn't energize. It takes a lot for him to energize. My father was a laryngectomy. He had surgery. He had his vocal cords removed before they did the voice box replacement. This was in the early 70s. And he would listen. He would, you know, participate as he could, but he had a different speech. And it was very difficult. And I think possibly maybe a small percentage of people who are not overtly bouncy and bubbly and responding, especially on the phone. I mean, people think my husband's a woman. He'll say, "I'm Richard." "Yes, ma'am." And, you know, because his voice has that, you know, high. So I'm wondering if part of, maybe a small part of our consideration is maybe there's a physical thing, you know, a voice or something that they don't feel like sharing at the time.
Yeah. Excellent, Marta.
Possible.
Excellent. Thank you. And that's why we continue to be friendly on a gentle basis, huh? Thank you. You illustrated her thought very well. Okay, second thing we want to work on this morning is, what is fellowship? What is a biblical definition of fellowship? This is going to guide our friendship motive, our friendship modus operandi. This is how we're going to be friends, is we're going to fellowship. That's a term that's used frequently, right? Oh, we're going to have some fellowship at the ball game. Well, maybe. You know, two fellas in one ship? No. You know. Yes, Steve, quick.
No, you used it already. You used my line already.
Oh. Okay. Yes, not two fellas in one ship. Here is the outstanding passage in the Bible about fellowship. I apologize for saying quickly. I shouldn't have said. Will you forgive me?
Yeah.
Whatever you comment is important, and if we just don't get this far, it's okay. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Now, fellowship, the word fellowship appears here, and it appears here. And this is, as far as I can tell, this is the outstanding passage in the Bible that would help us to define what constitutes biblical fellowship, which governs and guides friendship. That which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what you have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write to make your joy complete. Based upon this statement, what are the elements of it? In fact, if somebody could just write this down, that would be really great. Be our secretary, that would be very kind. What are the elements of biblical friendship? What defines biblical friendship according to this passage? Yes?
I would say it's a gathering of believers with the goal of glorifying God and their conversation and encouraging one another.
Okay, can somebody write that down? Can you write it down, Tony, so you can quote it back to us? Because we're gonna adjust, we're gonna add. That's a great start. Say it again.
A gathering of believers with the sole purpose of glorifying God.
Okay. Now, where in this passage where you pull that? Gathering of believers to glorify God for the sole purpose of glorifying God. Is that what you said, glorifying God?
Yeah, that's what they're talking about, what they saw. I mean, they're talking about the gospel.
Okay, they're talking about the God. There's talk. There's talk, right?
Right.
They're proclaim. Proclaim. Whatever this thing is, it's proclaiming something. It's saying something, okay? What else? What else is in his definition from the text?
It's also saying that they heard.
Okay, they heard.
They heard.
Okay, what does that mean? What other sensory illustrations are in the text? If hearing is a sense, what other hearing, what other sensory matters are in the text?
We've seen, touching.
Okay, we've got... We've got heard, we've got seen, our eyes looked at, and our hands have touched. Okay? We have seen it and testify to it. Okay, eternal life which is in the Father. What we have seen and heard. So very much personal experience, right?
Yeah.
Personal experience is very prominent in genuine fellowship.
Amen.
Okay? You are talking about what you've experienced with the living God. Right?
That's right.
What we have seen. Let's look at this. See if I've got this laid out here now. Fellowship involves personal experience. You see all the red markings there. I just read them to you a moment ago. You saw them a moment ago. Let this sink into your heart. This is personal stuff. This is not stuff you get from a book. Though good things are in books. Unless you have an experience with the Lord as a result of reading a book and seeing, oh yeah, now I get it. You know, that's fine. But it's talking about personal experience. I met God. God said this to me. Okay? Is that legitimate for the definition?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so fellowship then is proclaiming, and it is involves personal experience. Okay? Let's see if there's something else here I've got. Fellowship involves speaking. We've already talked about that one. This we proclaim, testify to you, we proclaim to you, we proclaim to you. So there's one, two, three, four times in the passage it's talking about talk, right? Speak, speech, okay? Fellowship involves joy. Now, Tony's phrase was for the glory of God. That was your last statement, wasn't it, Tony?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the way he expressed it, but I assume it would come from this last line, correct? Okay, can you read your definition back to us now? Does somebody have it written down?
A gathering of believers with the sole purpose of glorifying God.
Does it have to be a gathering, or can it be just two people?
Sure, it could be two people. That's,
oh,
a
that's
gathering.
A gathering?
It's a gathering,
sure.
Of two.
Two or three are gathering my name, okay. Read it again, please, slowly.
A gathering of believers with the sole purpose of glorifying God.
Gathering with believers.
A gathering of believers.
For the sole purpose
of glorifying God.
Okay. I would suggest we need to put something about speaking and personal experience into the definition. How can we word that?
Gathering of believers, sharing in their experience of their personal experiences of hearing, seeing, touching. That results in joy and the glory of God.
Okay, read it again slowly, okay? You've typed it out right there?
Really good.
A gathering of believers where they share their personal experiences of hearing, seeing, touching, and proclaiming that results in the joy and glory of God, or where they share in the joy and glory of God.
Okay, good. Thank you for doing that finger work. Thank you. Another definition, an add to one or either of these definitions. When you walk out of here, I hope we have a definition of fellowship. Yes.
I think there's something about it, as you have highlighted there, that draws us all together into closer fellowship with Christ, with God. Mm-hmm.
Okay, will you give us a specific phrase that will insert that, Becky, into the definition we're working on?
Christ. Just that draws us all together.
Teresa's playing secretary, Tony's playing secretary, Jed's playing secretary. Yeah. You got a phrase there for her?
That draws us all into fellowship together.
Will you read your definition that you've got, please, Therese?
I couldn't quite hear everything, but it sounds like what I'm hearing is a gathering of believers sharing their personal experiences of what they hear, see, and touch that results in, I'm sorry, what?
That draws us all together.
That draws us together and results in God's glory?
Fellowship with Christ.
Okay.
Joint fellowship.
That
that draws us together.
Okay. Steve?
I'm just thinking about the fellowship that they're talking about God and his son Jesus and the fellowship they have together, how close that is, and what they're really saying about the fellowship we're supposed to have together. He's talking about them there. That is a deeper fellowship than we can hardly imagine. You know, the fellowship between God and his son is supposed to be how our fellowship is, what it says there, with each other.
Uh-huh.
And fellowship with us.
So our fellowship, their fellowship is ideal, of course, perfect. Our fellowship is supposed to be with God and with others. So David.
I think 1 Peter 4:10 and 11 can enrich in that a bit. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Okay. Excellent verse. Is there a phrase there, or would you summarize something that Therese can write down or Jed can write down?
Yeah, whoever speaks is one who speaks the oracles of God. You ought to be speaking the gospel. That's, you know, we're focusing on that. And what God would lay upon your heart, if you're communing, 1 John 3:19-21, communing with them, getting blessed by him, speaking the oracles of God, you are to be a Barnabas. You are to be a son of encouragement to these people. And that's our goal, because that gives God glory, because that's who God is to us.
Okay. Very good. Yes. I'm pushing my 10:35 limit here. Two comments, and then we got to go. Yes.
I think one of the most important things is as a fellowship, to begin a fellowship, it has to start out that it's totally 100% God-centered. God needs to be in the center of all relationships, of all friendships, of all, you know, just even casual, hi, how are you? God needs to be the center. And if he's not the center, nothing can work.
Okay, now this is really interesting. Thank you. How do we combine the first thing we worked on for? News, individual pieces are the building blocks of fellowship, of friendship. How do we combine that with fellowship? If news about you share with one another is the building block of friendship, how do we combine that with fellowship?
Well, you praise the Lord for what he's done in your life.
So you're sharing your personal experience.
And you're giving God glory.
And you're glorifying God. That's the last phrase. It might have joy. You're talking about it. You are encouraging one another.
That's
and
right.
Your fellowship is with God and the Father. Yes, Zeola. And then Mike, and then we got to go.
Malachi.
Oop, we got Zeola. Marta, I'm sorry.
I thought she was going to. That's all right. I don't need it.
I was just going to say that I think we also need to just realize that that joy also includes the suffering. When we fellowship, we are not only suffering with other believers, but we are suffering with Christ.
Okay, can I be real honest with you?
24. Mm-hmm.
Will you be mad at me if I'm honest with you?
No, go ahead.
Okay, what in the text?
Okay, I have.
What in this text defines fellowship? We gotta hone the text. Look at the text. Mike.
I think this will meet the criteria, I hope, but you asked a minute ago the difference between friendship and fellowship. Friendship can happen between minimally two people in and of themselves, nothing outside of themselves. Fellowship must involve a third-party object or thing or something that both of them are united in.
A common bond.
Okay, here's your
case. It's fellowship in Christ.
Here's your homework. I will not be here next week, but I'll be here the following week. And Mike, what's on tap for next Sunday?
Steve.
Steve's up? Or Steve's up? Which Steve?
Now this Steve. He's going to be here. Way to go.
You're up next week. Okay. The week after that, 2 weeks from today, let's continue. If you would bring in a written definition of fellowship based upon this text, so you need to write down the references, and then bring back, you've got a great starter this morning, we got to go, bring back a written definition of fellowship, okay?
Therese, can you send that to everybody?
Yes. That's assigned to everybody.
And we'll work Bob's on it.
What's that?
Bob Russ.
Yes, Bob. Okay, last comment, then we got to go.
Ephesians 4:29.
Nice big voice so they can hear you. Way back here.
Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that they may benefit those in this.
Okay, very good. That kind of fits in this right to make your joy complete, a positive experiences of friendship and news. Okay? Father, help us, we pray, as we think tightly, biblically, about fellowship.
Grace us, Father. Thank you for this lovely room. Lord, we do ask you that we might make friends with people and we might grow in our capacity to cooperate with what you're doing in the lives of other people, Father. Help us. Bless the hour to come and regather us next Sunday as Steve shares and leads, and the following Sunday as we continue to refine fellowship, Father. In Jesus' name, we give thanks together, Father, because we love you. Amen. Mm-hmm.